You're listening to The Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hi friends, welcome back to another episode. I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. Thank you for tuning in again. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with our friend Omid, who owns Evoke Cannabis. If you want some background, you can go back and listen to his first debut episode, number 184, where we chopped it up about his personal journey with cannabis and what the plant evokes in you. Today, we're here to circle back around with some exciting new things that he's doing for the community and what he's up to now. So please welcome Omid back to the Cannabis Hangout.
Hi, Meedy.
Hi.
Welcome back to another episode. We're so happy to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So we left off our episode last July where Evoke was a little bit smaller and you had your hands more on the plants and you were more involved. Not that you're not involved now, but just more plant oriented. Fast forward to now, tell us what you're up to at Evoke and where you guys are.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has happened since then. It's kind of crazy. It's not just Evoke anymore. You know, we're exploring different brands. We're starting to branch out in new markets and looking in different places to see how we can influence other markets in the country. And as we've grown, I've taken a step back from the grow. This year we've had like tremendous growth as a company. We've gone from 1 to 4 cultivation facilities, which is it's huge
in a year.
Yeah, it's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to even like fathom how we've done it. I mean, I know how we've done it. We have an insane team between our ownership and our management and our everyday workers. Everyone really has shown up for us.
Yeah,
this
contributing
year.
Being part of the team. So what would you like, what was your big focus or like reason to ramp up in 20 this year? Because you said you guys have had so much happen in 1 year, which for I feel like, you know, that's not for everyone. You know, that stuff happens over like 5 years for some people.
Yeah.
So Evoke is run by 5 people mainly.
Thanks, I'll have some of this.
Yeah. He's like, get out of my hands.
the 5 owners it's just a lot of people who are focused on one goal. Mm-hmm. So we're able to do a lot quickly.
Okay.
And so we have really good management in place. Fred, who's our director of cultivation, moved out from Colorado with us. Kim, who's his girlfriend, she's in charge of the harvest team. She was lab manager. Now she's over in the grow with Fred. And they rock that, you know, having solid people who run your operation for you so that you can step back. I say this a lot now. I used to grow the weed. Now I'm able to grow the company. And the reason I'm able to do that is because I have people in place who, I shouldn't say I, we have people in place who we trust, who work really hard, who work with integrity every day. And because we have them there handling our day-to-day operations, we're able to focus on, new grows, new businesses, new brands, new ideas, and we're able to chase different things that normally, you know, I might be tied up day-to-day in the grow and not be able to focus on those things, or Josh would be tied up in the lab, and he's not able to work on new branding and new product launches, which is what he kind of specializes in, and Johnny, who's our sales director, he's a huge part of our growth. Just to say, I wanted to use the podcast today to kind of shout out some of the people in the company who have helped us get to this point, and then kind of lead you into what we're doing now.
Cool.
So yeah, a lot of the growth we've seen is because of really that one human who he's put us in over 400 stores around the state. And for one person to be able to accomplish a feat like that, it's nothing short of insane.
No. A gem, really. Yeah. Shout out to Johnny. Yeah.
So for him to be able to handle all that, like that, that's part of the reason we've exploded so much. You know, people always comment when they see me, they're like, you're in every store I go into, and that's all Johnny. So yeah. Props to him. He's done a great job with that. And then we have Wes and Matt, who they're like business minds, unlike anyone who I've ever had the chance to work with before. I really look up to them a lot. I've learned a lot from those guys. Wes is our CEO. Matt was involved in some operations in Colorado before coming out here. He has really deep experience in the industry, and the two of them see business in a way that a lot of people are lacking in this industry, you know, myself included. Coming from the traditional market, I didn't really have much business mind coming into this. I knew how to grow weed, I knew how to sell weed, and that's like kind of where it ended.
Okay.
And so a lot of the expansion and a lot of what we're doing now, it comes from through their guidance and with the management that we have in place.
Yeah.
You know, we have Sonia in the lab now and Shelby running fulfillment. And so we have our four top management and then the five of us as owners. It's nine people running the company, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's not just me. It's not just Josh. It's not, there's no one person who controls the direction that this company goes in. It's nine people making decisions every day, talking to each other constantly. We do weekly management and ownership meetings. And I feel like that is a big part of why we've been able to expand so quick, is because we have a solid ass team of people who are all working towards similar goals,
right.
and we've pretty much worked out a lot of the kinks where we've put people where they excel. So I was director of cultivation when we started the company, and when it was just like a few of us, you know, that wasn't a job that was crazy difficult for me. As we started to expand and I started having to do ownership roles and manage employees, it started to become too much for me. And now that we're at like, you know, 40, 45 employees, like that's not something I'm good at. Fred, who's our director, and he's almost like a general manager in a lot of ways for the company too. He has like a crazy organized mind. So
that is a gift.
Yeah, he's the person who excels at that. You know, he's, I also see him as one of the best growers in the state.
Okay.
But I really think what sets him apart from other people is his discipline and his organization. And that's something that a lot of growers don't have, because we just like learn to grow in garages and basements, and you're growing in your house. So it's like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter to a lot of people.
A little more lax.
Yeah, it's a little more lax, where with him, even when we were on the traditional market, he always had his calendars. He always had his days planned out. You know, my other growers didn't do that. He was always setting the standard. And so it kind of makes sense that as I took a step back from the grow, he was the one to step up. And so props to the team. All that to say, you know, we wouldn't be able to focus on expansion if we didn't have these people at the grow every day, busting ass, doing the jobs that we shouldn't be doing anymore, because we're not as good at it.
But to be able to be aware of that, but then also have people already on your team to kind of move in, you know, the little web that you're in, like, and then take another spot is... it's good. That means you have good team members.
For
sure. And quality people.
Yeah, and a good team, especially in this market that we're in, a good team is everything, because you're right. Like, even you saying the business aspect of it, Omid, like, that's not, I feel like, something that's very, that comes very natural to people in the cannabis industry. Like, it's just even based on looking at how some people run their businesses. And again, running a business is hard. I get it. I've owned one, but it's just not like at the forefront of, like, you know, even just how you said, like, organization and discipline, those are like two really big things. Communications are another really big thing. And I feel like people in the cannabis industry, sometimes I get lost in translation.
Right.
And then that becomes difficult to grow. And the fact that you found people who have those characteristics already is big, because one, that's hard to find in this industry.
And some companies are not succeeding right now because of that.
Right.
And so it's cool that you guys have, you know, hurdled up your team. You guys all have one vision in mind and y'all are just fucking going.
It's showing, you know, and stuff.
Yeah. I would definitely like, Evoke is definitely one of, like, I would say Oklahoma's like brands that you see, you know, like if you had a map and top you did ones. Like top brands of Oklahoma, I would definitely put Evoke up there.
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Jade Pebworth over at the Me Law Group in Oklahoma focuses to provide you with a comprehensive approach and intelligent advice and representation focused on resolving problems rather than inflating them.
She kills it with civil litigation, cannabis law, business planning, corporate law / litigation, and family law.
She enjoys working with companies from the ground up. Whether you need her to review and draft contracts for your company, assist in licensing applications, and more, the Me Law Group has your back.
Now, let's get back to today's episode.
Thank you. And that's something that, you know, it wasn't always like this. It took us a long time to get to this point and a lot of, like, bumpy roads and almost failing over and over and over. And it feels really good to be at this point. And so now that we're here and we have grown so much and we feel like we're getting really locked in and finding our place in this market, we've started messing with creating new brands and trying some different ideas out. And that was kind of the point of coming on today, is I wanted to talk about a new brand we launched recently. It's called Neighborhood Cannabis. And essentially, the point of Neighborhood is we're taking some of the money we make from this brand and we're giving it back to the community. So, like the month we dropped back in September, we ran a food drive. So we offered a free pre-roll and like a free half gram of hash if people brought in five canned food items to six different dispensaries that we were working with. We didn't know how it was going to go, and it, like, exploded.
That's cool.
It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Did you feel like the Oklahoma market was, like, lacking something in there? Or, like, what, you know, what was, I guess, like, your purpose of being like, we're going to do this?
So Neighborhood kind of started as, like, Evoke got really big, right? And it gets hard to, once you hit, like, a plateau, it gets hard to keep selling more of the same products as you expand. So Neighborhood was kind of filling this void that we wanted to take some products off the Evoke line, maybe things that were more volume-based or not as exotic, more like for your everyday smoker, and make a brand for products like that. As we were developing the brand, we thought if this is like, if this is going to be a brand that's geared towards everybody, whereas like Evoke is more for more of your elevated smoker, people who care a little bit more about quality and what goes into the products, they might seek us out. Neighborhood is kind of geared towards, your everyday smoker, maybe people who don't care as much about getting those exotic strains or whatever. For example, so in our grow rooms, we average like 20 pounds a table, but then we have some strains that they bust out like 30 pounds a table, you know, Neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's like, it's easier. We can sell those products a little cheaper. We don't take as big of a hit because we're producing more volume. Or maybe like a strain, for example, like Pure Michigan. When it came out, maybe some people would call that exotic. It was really desired and sought after. Now, not so much. We still run it because customers like it. So we're going to keep it, but maybe that's not something we're going to call Evoke anymore. So we put it in that other line. We can sell it a little cheaper. It is more of a volume-based brand, and it gets exposure to more people. That was kind of the point of it. And we thought, if that's what we're going to do, why don't we also put some intention behind this? If it's for everybody, let's also help everybody with this brand. And once we like had that idea, this whole different thing conceptualized around this brand, and we've just kind of been running with it. And I know you two have seen like what we're doing, but yeah, it's been fun. To answer your question, I do think that this is something like this was lacking in this cannabis industry, especially in Oklahoma. I feel like the cannabis industry is looked at as, you know, it's a lot of like criminals and shady, lazy people. And like, we just don't get the respect we deserve. And I know in my circle of people in this industry, the people I run with care a lot about people. They care a lot about their patients. They care a lot about the communities that they're making money in, and they want chances to give back. A lot of us are just like crazy busy, you know. Growers work like 60 to 100 hours a week is like normal, you know. And so a lot of these guys don't have time to get out of the grow and do things to give back. And so that's why I thought this would be a cool opportunity for us to kind of take the lead on that. As I took a step out of the grow, I was kind of having like an existential crisis, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, what is my purpose anymore if I'm not growing? And we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, and I feel like we're figuring it out now. I'm like, okay, this feels good.
It's cool to see where you came from like the last one saying that. Right. And then now this is like five or 6 months later. Yeah. And then you're like, it's all like an organic process, you know?
Yeah, it seems and like it's cool that you've been able to mesh like something that, because I've talked to you kind of closer to when you guys were about to launch Neighborhood, and like the passion that was oozing out of you was really cool to see, because it was like you knew that, like it felt like that Neighborhood is more your baby than like Evoke is. Like, not that you're not proud of Evoke, but you know, and like you've grown it, but just like, just the way that you talked about Neighborhood and the community aspect and being able to give back and bring that element.
Yeah,
that isn't brought to the cannabis industry. I feel like your face just like lit up. So it's cool to see that it's gotten so much success, so much feedback. And I agree with you when you say like people look at the cannabis industry in such a way that like when you have conversations with, you know, like maybe an elderly person that doesn't consume, or like another business owner that doesn't consume, and you say you're from the cannabis industry, they immediately like take a step back.
Yeah.
And because like when we, you know, when we look for local brands to work with, like I've had a few conversations. I was actually at North Park Mall yesterday at this art studio, which was really cool. And it was this two older sisters that were just hanging out there running the studio. And I forgot what even brought it up. And she was like, so what do you do? And I was like, I forgot, something about the podcast got brought up. And I was like, yeah, I have a cannabis podcast with my best friend. And they're both eyes like kind of were like, whoa, like what? And then by the end of it, like they were following our podcast, and the lady was like, I'm going to listen. And I think it was very cool to see how the conversation organically pivoted to their eyes being big. And then by the end of it, them opening up our podcast and being open to listen just based on conversation, and like all that to say, people have such a perception of what it is or what people who work in the cannabis industry are. But then, you know, when we have conversations and do cool things like give back to the community and work with local nonprofits, I think it's very big eye opener. Like, oh, they're not just lazy stoners. Like, they're actually doing something. So I think it's really cool.
Just adds value. Yeah.
Definitely. I think it's cool that you guys brought this aspect and element to the industry and are pushing it, because I feel like we need it.
And then, you know, there are like, I don't want to, there are other companies who do
of course,
a lot of stuff like this already. So not to say that we're the first ones, but we wanted this brand to have that intention behind it, you know?
Yeah.
It started a little different, but as we started building it, we realized, like, no, this is the purpose of this brand, and this is what we're going to do with it.
If you're ever in the Oklahoma City area, check out Chill Dispensary at 22 Northeast 10th Street.
They're good people with hand-washed, single-source, live rosin, flower, pre-rolls, and other solventless products.
So go show them some love and enjoy a chill experience.
Now, back to the episode.
And my goals for the brand are, one, to give back, two, to encourage other companies to do the same thing. So, you know, this last month we did like a toy coat and blanket drive, and we had a lot of other dispensaries kind of step in and help us with it. And I think just because of the season, mm-hmm. there's like a lot of places doing toy and coat and blanket drives. It mm-hmm. it didn't get as much momentum as the food drive did, and we were kind of surprised. We didn't really expect that. And so like me and Haytham from Dazed mm-hmm. and Dave from Zenoa yeah. like, and the other owners of Evoke Neighborhood, we all just threw in a bunch of money and went and nice. bought like a bunch of toys yeah. and blankets and coats and for made sure that the drive was like a huge
yeah.
success.
Yeah.
And it was. And it's like, so I do want to say, like, especially Haytham from Dazed, yeah. he does it right. Like, he's mm-hmm. actually been a big inspiration for mm-hmm. me. Talking to him, seeing how he moves, I'm learning a lot from him. And Dave from Zenoa, like, he's someone who I saw in this industry right when we got out here, and mm-hmm. the way he operated, being the owner of a company who would go do all the pop-ups himself, mm-hmm. hitting sales himself, he's mm-hmm. in the grow, he's like the face of the company. I saw that and I ran with it. So yeah. props to him. Like, I like there yeah. are people in this industry who I look up to a lot. Mm-hmm. Those are two of them. And also shout out to Velvet Tiger. They did awesome on the toy drive. Stacy did a really good job getting people to come in and donate and participate.
I love Stacy. She's great. They do such a good job over at Velvet Tiger. Shout out to Stacy.
It's just cool to like see that, and then now because of where we are as mm-hmm. a company, I'm able to build off of ideas that I yeah. learned from other business
and
owners.
And do stuff
who,
together, which is yeah. cool. Like, yeah. I know Dace yeah. was a part of the toy drive, yeah. and it's so cool that, like, people who inspire you, now you guys get to work together. And yeah. it's like, now you guys can inspire one another and create really this, like, solid community of people that are, like, just not even running stuff, but just leaders in the community yep. that we need.
Yeah. You guys have common goals, common interests. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of like where you want to put your heart to, it sounds like. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a big thing, is having intentions when you start a brand and not just starting a brand to start a brand.
Right.
You know?
And that's what we did with Evoke. We were like, let's get out here. Let's try to grow the best weed we can mm-hmm. and we'll fill in the rest later, you know? Yeah. And that's a thing,
yeah.
and that's a thing a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But we got to a level with it where we were like, okay, now we can create something with more intention behind it. And I said this to Josh, who's one of the other owners, like, a few months ago. I was like, bro, Evoke is fucking sick. We built something, like, awesome, and yeah. it's, like, doing its thing. I'm like, but Neighborhood, though, is mm-hmm. I know it sounds like kind of corny. It's like Neighborhood for the community, yeah. but it's like, it feels good. Like mm-hmm. this is a thing that everyone can get behind. It will attract good attention from outside of the cannabis industry, which mm-hmm. is what we want. Like, we want to change the stigma that's associated with cannabis growers and this industry, because like I said before, a lot of us are really passionate. We do care a lot about the people that mm-hmm. we're selling products to. We care a lot about the communities that we live in and come from.
Right.
And we want to give back. And yeah. so I just want people to see that.
That's yeah. awesome. So yeah. what Neighborhood, the name is obviously kind of says itself, but what was the, like, when you guys were sitting there coming up for a name for this, like, what was the moment where Neighborhood came to mind?
This was actually Matt's brainchild. So,
okay.
Yeah, our partner Matt, he was one of the owners of, like, one of the biggest companies in Colorado mm-hmm. Back in the day. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too much into what happened with that company, but he has he sees branding in a way that a lot of people don't. And he has a lot of really cool ideas. Mm-hmm. Neighborhood was one he wanted to run with.
Cool.
So it was something he had already conceptualized.
Nice.
And so we just started building it with him.
Nice. Shout out to Matt. It's always nice to have a creative brain like
I know,
that. Because
I love
names
that.
Are to name a company is a very difficult thing. And yeah. I say this almost every time we talk about branding. To have a name and to stick with it and love it for a long time. Because you can't change it once it's there.
When he said Neighborhood, and I said it was super corny and I didn't like it. And
really?
Yeah. But that's honestly like my first response to like every idea my partners have.
Yeah.
So
it takes a second to settle in.
But as we started building it, yeah. it like became, it's like, okay, this is our thing now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it feels good because we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So what all products has Neighborhood brought to the market?
Yeah. So we have flower, BHO grams and 4 gram baller buckets, and then
nice.
We're also doing carts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Hitting three good markets.
I know, really.
Solid markets. Yeah.
$4,000 baller jar?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So where do you hope to see Neighborhood grow? Like, what's your plans with it? Like, of course you want to give back, you know, like in the cannabis part, like to make cannabis more affordable. But like, what is the ultimate goal with Neighborhood?
The ultimate goal, like, it's kind of crazy. I went from being, we created this company. I'm like the head grower there. And then I'm like doing back end stuff for the company. Now it almost feels like I'm running like a nonprofit or something. Mm-hmm. It's not that, but it feels like that.
Yeah.
And so like the goal for the company is like every month we want to do something different. So we did the food drive. We did the toy drive. This month we made like a pound and a half of FICO, which is a full spectrum extract cannabis oil. So we take our BHO, decarb it, so it's edible, and then we put it in syringes. It's super pure, really high quality, and we're just finding patients who are in need of meds and giving out as all of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's like, with things like that, it, I'm not here to like call anyone out or like be weird or anything, but I feel like it's almost like a no-brainer. Like when your company gets big enough and you can do stuff like that, like, we don't need to sell that product. Mm-hmm. We'll just make it and give it out. We make so much hash, so much extract. It's crazy. You know, it's like not a big deal to take like a pound or two and decarb it and give it to patients who need it.
So,
this whole idea of like patients over profits, like people like to say that a lot. But I really feel like we are encapsulating that in these brands that we've created because Evoke, for example, that's not... I won't ever tell anyone like, oh, we're the best. Every product we make is the best. Mm-hmm. What I will say is we are the best for the price that we sell at. I don't think you'll find better products at our price point. I really and truly believe that. And I also think that our products compete with a lot of products that are in higher tiered price points. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Let's get meds to patients who need them. Let's give back to the community. And let's just be like a reasonable company, you know?
I also think it goes to say, like, I know you said earlier that, like, there is other people in the industry doing it and, like, giving back to the community. And, of course, there are. Like, I see it all the time. I think, in my mind, it's the consistency aspect of it. Like, you can give back during holiday season like everyone does, but everyone does that.
And be in the spirit just during that time.
So my question, I actually had this conversation with some friends the other day where it's like companies that give back only during the holiday season, why is it only during, like, what about the holidays is the only reason that makes you feel like you want to give back?
Right.
And it's not, I'm not saying it's not generous. I'm not saying like you don't, your heart's not in the right place. What I'm saying is there's 11 months throughout the year that people also need those donations or that charity or that help or that love. So like, where do those other 11 months lack? So I think it's really cool that you guys are focusing on a charity every month because people need that. And people, that's just a, it's just fucking cool.
Yeah,
dude.
People
it's
just, have that's needs just the only thing. And you're helping meet them.
In a consistent way. Like people can consistently see Neighborhood in the community doing stuff, regardless of if they consume your product or not. There, it's the consistency aspect of it. And I feel like that really makes companies like separate themselves from one another.
And that's what you get with us.
Yeah,
we're super consistent. And once again, it comes down to the team we've built.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen without the 9 people who are running the company right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout
what
out
about
to them.
How do you guys like choose what charities you want to work with? I know there's like so many, but is that, how do you guys like zone in on it?
Opportunities kind of just present themselves.
Yeah.
And once we like kind of put it out there that we're doing this, people just start approaching us and then we just run with it. It feels like really organic and natural that way. We, for example, we did an event with Underground Ghost Kitchen. So Roger and I have become friends. He's the one who runs that. And we were talking randomly before one of his events and he said that he's friends with a football coach at Cap Hill High School and they need people to sponsor like some of the team dinners. And then I'm like, cool, that sounds good. Let's do it. So I go meet the football coach and then I'm talking to like some of the staff there, and then I realize like it's actually like a really desperate situation at this school. It's like it's like really fucking bad.
I volunteered a thing at that church there before, like feeding people, and so I thought the same thing.
Yeah, like they were telling us like we're essentially like beggars for the school. Like we're not just teachers. We're always asking people for donations, money, school supplies, food. Like we run out of food for kids, and some for some kids it's like the only meal that they get to get access to during the day, and we can't even always provide that. And I kind of just like latched on to them. I'm like, all right, like we're gonna try to do more with you. And so we're kind of just running with it right now with Cap Hill High School. It's just cool because it.
Okay, let's pause for a minute and talk about Oklahoma's grassroots cannabis publication, Herbage Magazine.
They are in over 500 dispensaries statewide, providing cannabis education and supporting and highlighting the local communities.
For more information, visit herbagemag.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-G-E-M-A-G.com.
Gerald Swain, who does media for us, he's
shout out to Gerald.
Yeah, fucking badass. Gerald. He does awesome work. He found out we were doing this, and he's like, "Bro, my mom went to that high school."
Oh, cool.
Aww. Yeah. So he's like super excited to be, you know, doing media when we're like helping this school, and little things like that keep popping up, and it just feels like we're doing the right
thing.
Those are
that's green
like
lights.
Yes, those are green lights showing you that you are right where you're meant to be, and what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
You're serving a higher purpose, which is so cool.
So growing up, though, like as a kid, did you volunteer with charity work, or like have you always just like had a heart for that?
Yeah, my parents were like, really, really giving and like always trying to help other families and people who needed it. And really my mom, I got a lot of that from her.
It's cool you're able to see that growing up though as an example. Like, you know,
It's like almost to a fault, like try to help others before helping yourself. Type thing.
It's beautiful. It's a really special quality to have.
So Neighborhood and Evoke are two different personalities, although they're sister companies. Evoke is so edgy and like cool, and Neighborhood is more warm and welcoming. So how, now that you've done two, you know, community driven, what's the word?
Charity
events. Events for, you know, different people in the community. How has that made you feel now? And you're just, you know, Neighborhood is still so new, and I feel like you guys have really come out of the floodgates. How do you feel? Like, how does Omid feel?
It feels really good. I feel like I have purpose again with the companies. Where, you know, like I said before, when I had to step out of the grow, it kind of hit me in a way that I felt like my identity was in crisis. I didn't really know what I was doing for a company if I wasn't in the grow. And yeah, this feels like really good, and all our employees are stoked about it. It's like, okay, they're all working with like intention, you know? It's like what we're producing is good meds for the people who want it, but some of the money we're making is also going towards like doing really good things for the community. And it, you can tell like it's a different vibe.
For sure. I think it's really cool. And I think as you guys start to work with more charities, it's going to be cool for, you know, those people that are maybe like, oh, a cannabis industry or, you know, a cannabis brand coming to do this with us that may have never worked with a cannabis brand before. Like even high school, like I feel like that's random, and it's like, oh, a cannabis brand's working with high school, but they're so dare, you know. So it's cool that you guys are coming in and providing those, you know, tools, those assets for them, and to help them grow, to feed them, whatever the case may be, because people don't expect that from cannabis companies.
I tried to take the coaches some of our products, and they're like, dude, you're at a high school. Like, you can't have that here. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, me. Just comes the backpack.
They're like, we literally like arrested a kid for having weed on the property yesterday. So
you gotta go, buddy. You gotta get out.
I feel like it's legal though. I have this license. I have this. That's funny.
That is funny. So if somebody wanted to maybe volunteer their time or make any sort of donations or help out with neighborhood or maybe get involved, how do people do that with you?
Yeah, so we just launched our new website. It's pretty dope. We're still working out some kinks on it, but it's neighborhoodflower.com. If you go on there, you have we'll have calendars that show like what type of things we're going to be doing month after month, and then there's a contact us section where it'll, you know, you could reach out to us directly through there.
Cool.
And then our Instagram link is on there too, so you could DM, that'll go to me or Matt.
Cool. So what can the people expect from Neighborhood in the new year?
In January, we're doing another food drive, so that'll be the event for January.
Cool.
And then
are you guys doing it with?
We don't have the shop selected yet.
Okay.
So that'll all be up on the website though once we get it dialed in. And then yeah, this month we're actually announcing raffle winners for the toy drive next week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Cool.
And then we're trying to connect with patients who need meds right now. So
amazing.
If you guys know anyone, let me know.
Yeah, and we will.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep up on the website. Yeah. As we decide different things we want to do, we'll just pop it up there, and anyone who wants to get involved can reach out, and we'll figure out ways to do it.
And that's neighborhood, NBRHDflower.com?
No. Spelled out.
Spelled out.
Neighborhoodflower.com.
Okay, yeah. Neighborhoodflower.com.
Yep.
It's been so cool to see friends who are motivated, inspired, and constantly moving and evolving in such a way that's growing you all around, and it's cool to be surrounded by that because I feel like it keeps Brandon and I inspired as well. So that's you. You've been that this year. It's been really cool to watch you grow, even just from becoming friends with you to doing a podcast episode with you and now like sitting here with you and just watching you have really put your nose to the ground this last 6-7 months, and seeing you on this other side, it's really inspiring and really cool. So we're really proud of you. I want to say
you.
That. You're welcome.
That's cool. It's cool to see your friends do cool shit, but like stuff that also makes everyone's heart feel good too. You know, you're like, yeah, that's why I'm friends with you.
That's why
I love
that's my friend. Yeah. So what are you most proud of yourself this year? Like what makes you feel good that you were like, this was a goal that I set at the beginning of the year and I accomplished this. I'm really proud of myself.
This is a therapy session.
Wow.
Did you know?
I know, but it's important to give yourself credit because I feel like you might not do that very often. I might be assuming that, but I feel like it's important to give yourself credit.
I don't really ever think about that. I think I'm just proud of how I've been able to step out of like a day-to-day like work role in the grow and kind of assume this new side of me where I need to be more involved in making decisions and making connections for the company. And I'm being in charge of like relationships with our extract partners. And it's like,
you're a connector.
Right.
Yeah.
You are a connector.
And, yeah. I think it means a lot to have stepped more into that identity because I talked earlier about how we're, you know, letting people step into roles where they excel at. There was a point like, I don't know, maybe in like February of this year or like March or something when I was realizing that I'm not going to be in the grow as much. And that's not really where it wasn't something we really talked about at the company. It just kind of started happening. And you know, it's like I'm one of the people who built the company. I see what's happening. I know I could see where it was going. I'm like trying to reconcile with it in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Wes, our CEO, one day on the phone. I was in Colorado and we were talking on the phone. I just hit him up. I was like deep in thought. I hit him up. I'm like, isn't it weird that like I'm not I'm not the main decider in the grow anymore. I'm like, you guys, you know, are consulting Fred more than you're consulting me. I'm like, isn't that weird to you? I'm like, I designed these, that grow, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm the one who built a lot of it. And he's like, no, it's not weird. He's like, you're doing things that you're way better at now, and that's going to be better for the company. And I think you need to, like, really step into that. And I was like, damn.
That's solid advice.
That's solid advice for sure.
You needed to hear that.
Yeah, because I could see how it's like change. First of all, change is very hard.
Yeah.
Especially when it's something where, like, you've built it. It's been your blood, sweat, and tears into it. It's your baby, really. Yeah. And now somebody's kind of giving your baby to somebody else, and you're watching it happen, and you're like, wait, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
But in his mind, he sees it so different because he's like, no, I see you in such a bigger position, in such a more like...
Not necessarily bigger.
Not bigger, but just like bigger in that, like, maybe bigger for, like, bigger for you, and that's something that you can work towards to help us be bigger, like bigger in that, you know?
Right.
Growth.
Yeah, growth. Bigger growth. Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's really cool. And it's cool to see that he saw that in you. So as you were having this moment of like, what's happening? He was like, no, like it's what's happening is what's right.
Yeah.
So and it's for you.
With that being said too, like as an entrepreneur, receiving solid advice, like from other people, but if there's someone listening who you feel like, who may feel like, you know, they're lost, they're tired, they're like, you know, just worn out, what is some solid advice that you personally would give to someone just to keep going or whatever that might be?
Don't be afraid to lean into the people who have like shown that they'll be supportive of you. You might not get it from everybody, but if you have those people, don't feel like you're alone, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything we've built has been a team effort. Like, it was never any one person, you know?
Yeah.
It was back in Colorado, it was Josh and I scheming in his office, and when we've moved out here, it was four of us, you know, right off the bat, building the company together. And shout out to Dylan, who's running one of our facilities out in Chickasha. He was like our young apprentice who came out with us like right in the beginning. That was really awesome. He took a risk when I met him.
Yeah.
He was 18. He was helping. Yeah, we let him come help me at the grow up in the mountains.
Nice.
And he proved his worth, and yeah, he came out here with us. He's like OG member of the team. So yeah, he's almost like a founder in a lot of ways, just because he was here from day one.
Yeah, and risk takers are risk takers, and you value them.
He helped me take clones for our first run in Colorado, you know.
Okay,
That's so cool. It's so cool that you've experienced so much over the last few years with your friends and people around you, and now you guys have like created this really cool atmosphere, companies.
So full circle.
Culture, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and it's cool to see you all thrive and do it together. And this is just the beginning, really.
Yep, it sure is. And but yeah, so that would be my advice, is we're not, that's kind of what our whole company is built off of, is collaboration over competition. I tell this to our extract partners all the time, is that we can do more together than we can by ourselves. And so anyone feeling lost or like giving up, or they just don't know how to make the next move, lean into your people. It's like, it's so important, because you can't do it by yourself. Yeah.
That's real.
We've been so successful because we're a huge team working together.
Yeah.
And so I try to take the things I learn at work and apply it to my actual life, because I've learned so much from the people that I work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. I'm glad you've been having these experiences. It sounds like it's all in the right direction.
Sounds like 2023 was a good year for you.
It really was insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's over.
I know. I feel like it just flew by.
Yep.
And I'm glad we got to sit here and reflect, though.
I know.
It was kind of fun.
I know. It was. Well, Meedy, I think this wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share just your passions, your love, your joy for the companies, the cannabis, the community. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And for those of you wanting to keep up with what they're doing, follow them on Instagram. It's NBRHD_life. And thank you to everyone for tuning into another episode. Stay tuned for next week's. And as always, Sam,
stay medicated.